That's a guy named Luke Jensen talking about the winner of the U.S. Open yesterday, Roger Federer. Luke, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I just took the job as GM of the New York Jets. Ted Nugent is out. We need you back.
I'm back, baby. In fact, speaking of GMs, Marv Levy just called, and he's going to come in to join us in about 5 minutes, and he wants to interview you about motivational. He wants to bring you in as sort of the performance coach for the team, buddy.
I just want to hit somebody. I want someone to come across the middle, and I want to line them up like, oh, Ronnie Lott.
Hey, you know what? We're going to have Ronnie Lott on the show in the next couple of weeks, and a lot of people don't know that Luke Jensen, I mean, if you had your druthers, you would have loved to have followed Ronnie Lott as a safety in the NFL, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's unbelievable to see somebody line him up and just take a really good level shot at a person, really put some pain into his train, and give him something to think about for the rest of his life.
So how can we get that into tennis? Is that what's missing from tennis, my friend?
I think the attitude that Connors and McEnroe had and Lendl brought, Boris Becker, these guys had an edge. And I think you see that in Rafael Nadal, a real athlete that can move and jump and do so many different things. And you see his muscles and you see his attitude. Andy Roddick's got that back. Andy Roddick's got Jimmy Connors in his corners. He's back. I mean, that is so nice to see him, that he's in the mix again. He was in a free fall for a couple of years, and now he is back in the mix.
Well, tell us about yesterday's game. I predicted that Federer would win in four sets, but it did seem that Andy Roddick has more fire now. It's less about the individual strategy, and Federer is the master strategist. It's more about the fact that Roddick has that sense that at least he's never out of a match.
Yeah, and Roddick believes in his ability once again and has the game plan going out. I think it's amazing how people don't understand. When you see a football team and they huddle, whether it's the offense or defense, they're setting up a play to execute. Tennis players just seem to react to what their opponent is doing. I promise you, Roger Federer knows what he's going to do before it all lays out. He's sitting there hitting these different shots, and there's meaning behind the madness, what he's trying to do to set up his opponent. And then when it does get to a crucial point, like at a set of piece, 5-all, when Andy Roddick comes down just a little bit mentally and physically, there he is, and he puts on another gear. He shoves it into another gear, and he pulls away. And that's why he's won 9 Grand Slam singles titles. He's chasing Pete Sampras' 14. He's on the way.
Do you think it's poetic that a Tiger Woods would speak to Roger Federer and not Andy Roddick before the match yesterday?
Well, it's a Nike issue there. It's not that it wasn't a patriotic thing and nothing against Andy Roddick, but it was a Nike thing that was set up to sit there in his box in the front row. Both these guys know each other through Nike, and it was great for tennis. On the first day of NFL football, the official kickoff the first Sunday, you've got, you know, tennis, and you're like, why should I watch tennis? There's Tiger Woods. What's Tiger Woods doing? I'm going to watch. Our ratings went through the roof. No one, you know, yes, tennis fans would have watched that. Yeah, that's fine. But now that, you know, the guy at the sports bar checking out his team, what's Tiger Woods? Got the hat on backwards, front row with Roger Federer's girlfriend, of course.
No, they were watching because Tiger's wife was next to him.
Yes, sure. You've got to bring the hot element anytime you can get the Swedish thing going.
There you go. Hey, speaking of women, though, we have been remiss in covering the women's side. I definitely want to get a mention about Martina Navratilova, but before that, tell me about Sharapova and her win on Saturday.
Sharapova's really reestablished herself. Like, you know, maybe boyfriend Andy Roddick, she has decided to really work on other parts of her game. It's not just a power game. You have to be consistent. And when you watch her play now, she's rolling the ball so well, putting a lot of topspin on it, being more consistent, and then going for power. And here's the thing. It's really dangerous. She could start to dominate. The entire WTA tour, the women's tour, is a mash unit. A bunch of people that are injured, beat up. Davenport's on the way out. You look, Capriati's out of the game. The Williams sisters are who knows what they're doing. And the way she played at the U.S. Open from start to finish, look at her commercial, from start to finish, all business. Doesn't matter about the hoopla around her, what they're singing, what they're doing. She's there to win, and that's mental toughness.
finally, the accomplishment of a Martina Navratilova to make it to the finals at the age of nearly 50. I mean, with all the hype about Andre Agassi, we do have to give some homage to a woman that has shown what is possible even at 50 years of age.
Yeah, and she turned 50 in a month. She won her 59th Grand Slam in mixed doubles at the U.S. Open. She started out in 1974 winning her very first Grand Slam championship. That was the mixed doubles title at the French. She ends on the mixed doubles title at the U.S. Open, 59 Grand Slams, and I'm just going to put it, it's real simple. She's the greatest tennis player ever. Let it be known, singles, doubles, or mixed, male or female, no one can touch her record.
I will say that she is the most determined player of any sex, any gender in the history of the game. And speaking of determined individuals, Luke, stay on because you're available as the next safety for the Buffalo Bills. Marv Levy, how are you, my friend?
Just fine, Nick. Good to visit with you as always.
We only have a couple minutes. I'm so grateful that you could join us. And just tell us about that last few minutes of the game. J.P. Lossman has shown so much leadership. Certainly he seems to be the answer for what the Bills have been looking for. But tell us about that game and about that last decision with regard to how you play it when the quarterback's backed up against his own end zone.
Well, it was a tie score. We're deep in our own end zone, and we gambled, and he was sacked a foot or two into the end zone, and that was the margin of the game. I don't fault the call. JP said he did evade, and he's very evasive in terms of his footwork. He evaded the first rusher, and bang, he was right into the second one. So it's a difference. You learn from it. We think he's made great progress over a year ago. He did some very good things during the game. We're not happy having lost it, but we're going back to work, and there were some good signs at least. There's a long season ahead, and we'll focus on it.
We put a lot of pressure on Tom Brady. Let's talk about that Buffalo defense. Something that you began to bring in Kansas City was talent combined with attitude. So we've only got a couple minutes here, but tell us about what you see now as the changes in the 6 months that you've had a chance to really impact this team.
Well, it's a defense built on simplicity and execution, on fundamentals, on hustle. The players are buying in. They're going after it very hard. Yes, Brady still did some good things, could walk off and say we won the game, and he's a fine quarterback. But I see good signs, and it takes time for any defense to develop. Our defensive line played very well. We did very little blitzing during the game. We put a heavy load on them, and we'll continue to try and develop a mentality which spotlights the things I just mentioned.
Well, you've got, is it Miami next week, Marv?
We travel to Miami. They're coming off of a Thursday night game, so they have a nice 10-day rest, but so what? Yes, we go to Miami, our second consecutive division game, and one of the teams was picked to be one of the stronger ones in the division.
Well, we so much appreciate your joining us, my friend, and we hope we can check in with you every few weeks and see how things are going. But a great effort there yesterday. It's not what you wanted. I know the W is the only thing that really matters, but Marv, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Nick. Good to talk with you. Bye.
Thank you, sir. When we come back, final thoughts from the great Luke Jensen on tennis and how it's going to take it to the next level with people like Maria Sharapova and Roger Federer. Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite. We want to thank Marv Levy for joining us and Len Dawson, two of the great people. Another great one is Luke Jensen. Luke, at 20 years of age, Rafael Nadal has maybe, what do you think, 2 years, 3 years before he can supersede a guy like Roger Federer?
I think he can do well. He's got a winning record against the guy. He won four times this year, only lost to him once. The guy has massive topspin, but it's those stars that are going to take this game to the next level. 2007 with Roddick and Blake, the Americans challenging the foreign powers. It's going to be fantastic.
Well, thanks for joining us. We want to thank you and Lexus, and we'll check in with you in a couple weeks to see how things are going on the tennis tour, my friend.
Laces out, my friend. Laces out.
Laces out, baby!